Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Iconoclast Report. I'm your host, Carolyn Harris. You may know me from my articles on Infowars.com, BlacklistedNews.com, or elsewhere on the internet, or you may know me from MySpace as Ma Justice. Our cherished beliefs are held because we only see that pretty mask that's presented to us, not knowing what lies behind it. We're taught not to ask questions, not to challenge authority, not to go against those cherished beliefs we've been taught. On this show, we're going to break through that cardboard mask. We're here to expose the truth behind the carefully constructed illusions. There are so many things going on in our soundbite world and happening so quickly, it's hard to understand how these events relate to one another. We may want to learn more, but we only get superficial and disingenuous coverage from any given subject or event in the mainstream media. So more and more people are getting their information online. But since most people work 40 or more hours a week, it leaves very little time for in-depth research. And there is so much out there, it's also hard to sift through the information and disinformation to find the truth. The truth is elusive, and those of us who search for it are always checking out the authors, checking sources, and checking facts. This takes a lot of time, and many times it takes us in a completely different direction than we intended. Sometimes on tangents we find the information we are looking for, or maybe something completely different, but interesting, a new avenue to explore. You may find that not being strictly disciplined and using this approach can lead you in so many different directions, so many that you don't ever learn very much about any given subject. I often have to stop myself from looking at interesting tangential material if I'm researching something specific. It's hard. That approach results in what is called the mile-high, half-inch-deep syndrome. You may know a little about a lot of different things, but not very much about any one thing. This is also the approach of the public schools, which is partly why so many school children and recent graduates are appallingly ignorant. Here on the Iconoclast Report, we're going to delve deeply into one subject each week and flesh out the background and history, the players, who it benefits, and how it fits into the larger scheme of things. We look in depth at what's behind the event, the why, and the what for. We'll discuss issues below the surface to give you a much fuller picture. And after each show, you'll know much more than a half inch about whatever subject we're discussing. We're also going to utilize a great research tool called the Library. You can access it at www.nwolibrary.com. That's nwolibrary.com. It's where the hard work of doing the research and finding the documents has been done for you. We'll be discussing the issues utilizing documents from this website. But don't worry, I'll always let you know the names of the documents and where they're located in the library so you can download and follow along or save them to read them later. You can also print them out or email them to someone you know who you think would benefit from the information. So whether you are a seasoned researcher or just want to know a little bit more about all the different subjects, you want to bookmark this site. We'll be right back.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
Violence, just a game. All those movies taught him well.
Welcome back, everybody. So today we're discussing fluoride. What in the world is it, and where does it come from? First, we'll look at a document entitled The Phosphate Fertilizer Industry, an Environmental Overview by Michael Connett for the Fluoride Action Network, published May 2003. It's located in the library under Food and Pharmaceuticals in the Fluoride section. Again, you can find the library at www.nwolibrary.com. We're going to get a little technical at first, but it's important to hear so you understand exactly where fluoride comes from. According to the document, and I'm quoting here, as noted in 1970 by Irvin Belloc, chemist for the U.S. Public Health Service, quote, in the manufacture of superphosphate fertilizer, phosphate rock is acidulated with sulfuric acid, and the fluoride content of the rock evolves as volatile silicofluorides. In the past, much of this volatile material was vented into the atmosphere, contributing heavily to pollution of the air and land surrounding the manufacturing site. As awareness of the pollution problem increased, scrubbers were added to strip particulate and gaseous components from the waste gas. And quoting Mr. Belloc, after being captured in the scrubbers, the fluoride acid, which is hydrofluorosilicic acid, a classified hazardous waste, is barreled up and sold unrefined to communities across the country. Communities add hydrofluorosilicic acid to their water supplies as the primary fluoride chemical for water fluoridation. According to recent estimates, the phosphate industry sells approximately 200,000 tons of silicofluorides to U.S. communities each year for use as a water fluoridation agent, citing Copeland and Mathis 2001. Even if you don't live in a community where fluoride is added to the water, you'll still be getting a dose of it through cereal, soda, juice, beer, and any other processed food and drink manufactured with fluoridated water, end quote. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The fluoride that is added to your municipal water supply, food, and beverages is officially classified a hazardous waste. If you put any hazardous waste into drinking water of a city, it would be a terrorist act. So how can this be? Do public officials know it's a hazardous waste? Let's see what the EPA has to say and how they justify adding it to our water. Again, quoting from the same document. In 1983, Rebecca Hanmer, the Deputy Assistant Administrator for Water at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, described the policy of using the phosphate industry's silicofluorides for fluoridation as follows. In regard to the use of fluorosilicic acid as the source of fluoride for fluoridation, this agency regards such use as an ideal solution to a long-standing problem. By recovering a byproduct fluorosilicic acid from fertilizer manufacturing, water and air pollution are minimized, and water authorities have a low-cost source of fluoride available to them. End quote. Apparently, the solution to getting rid of a substance that pollutes the air, water, and land is to put it in our water and food. What? Quoting again from that same document, another EPA official, Dr. J. William Hersey, the current senior vice president of EPA Headquarters Union, recently expressed a different view on the matter. According to Hersey in 2000, if this stuff gets out into the air, it's a pollutant. If it gets into the river, it's a pollutant. If it gets into the lake, it's a pollutant. But if it goes right into your drinking water system, it's not a pollutant. That's amazing. There's got to be a better way to manage this stuff, end quote. Think about this for a minute. Substances are classified as hazardous waste because they are very toxic, reactive, or explosive. In this case, silicofluorides are reactive and toxic. Just to be clear, this is the same fluoride that's added not only to our water, but our oral hygiene products and foods and beverages. We're literally being fed a toxic waste. I don't know about you, but I find that unconscionable. So we have to ask, why would public health officials, those who are charged with guarding us from toxic substances, intentionally put a classified toxin into our water? But who are these public health officials? Think you know? I bet you don't. The Public Health Service is part of the U.S. Health and Human Services Department. Sounds benign enough, right? After all, it does involve health. Well, what you don't know is that it is a militarized group. That's right. They have ranks, uniforms, all the pretty little colored pins just like the military. You can check it out if you're at your computer right now, going to usphs.gov. Look at the commissioned corps section, or actually you can see pictures of it in the graphic on top of the page. Those of you not at your computer right now, their uniforms are a light brown, kind of tan, and you can picture their name tag on the right chest above the pocket. Above the left chest pocket is where all their little medals and pins go. Their ranks and insignia are identical to the Navy. From the government website, they bill themselves as an elite team of more than 6,000 full-time, well-trained, highly qualified public health professionals dedicated to delivering the nation's public health promotion and disease prevention program and advancing public health science. Driven by a passion for public service, these men and women serve on the front lines of the nation's fight against disease and poor health conditions. As one of America's seven uniformed services, the Commissioned Corps fills essential public health leadership and service roles within the national federal government's agencies and programs. The Corps has many officers in different professions, and they go on to list them. Incidentally, the PHS were involved in the infamous Tuskegee experiment. That's the one in 1932 where they told the 399 black men with syphilis they were receiving treatment for the disease, but in reality they were not. It was intended to see how fast syphilis would spread throughout the black community. The title of the experiment says it all. Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male. It's clear they never had any intention of giving these men treatment. Anyway, the same public health service is supposedly on the front lines in the fight against disease and poor health conditions. Doesn't seem like they're making much progress since Americans are getting more diseases than ever before. Preventable diseases. So we know that the PHS is a uniformed service, a paramilitary medical corps, and they're supposed to be protecting us, as is the Center for Disease Control and the FDA. But the question remains, why would people charged with guarding our health, protecting us, intentionally add a toxin to our water? As always, it involves business interests. Quoting from a document entitled Economic Motives Behind Fluoridation by Dr. Frederick Exner, reprinted from Acupura, 1966, also in the library, it is now clear that one of the utterly relentless forces behind fluoridation is American big industry, that the motive is profit, not profit, but fear. Around 1900, the very existence of the smelter industry, both in Germany and Great Britain, was threatened by successful suits for fluorine damage and by burdensome laws and regulations. Today, that same threat hangs over the bulk of American industry, and fluoridation offers both camouflage and scapegoat. Hence, the relentless and uncompromising drive for universal fluoridation. Most of our municipal water supplies are fluoridated, and if you speak out about it, you're called a quack or a nutcase. But most people don't do research on fluoride, what it is, or how it affects them. Well, we're going to find out all of those things and the why later on in this show. We're going to get very deep into the chemical structure, even pharmaceuticals that are made with fluorides. Bet you didn't know that. We're going to learn a whole lot here on the Iconoclast Report here on Oracle Broadcasting. And you're going to be really, really surprised about the secret history of how water fluoridation began and even the other industries that produce these toxic silicofluoride gases in the atmosphere that still cause a lot of pollution even though they add the scrubbers. Well, it's not what you think, everybody, but you're going to learn all about it after this really quick break coming up. So I really hope you'll stay with us. And again, you're going to want to go or write this down, www.nwolibrary.com. That's nwolibrary.com. We're going to be quoting from different documents that are located there under food and pharmaceuticals in the fluoride section. And you can save them or read them later or read along. Oh my gosh, I did not call.
say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Always remember those in strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. We are... All right, welcome back, everybody. Now we're going to get into the really interesting stuff. If you're just joining us, we're discussing fluoride. We just learned that fluoride is a classified hazardous waste byproduct of the phosphate fertilizer industry, and it's the same hazardous waste that's added to our municipal water supplies, foods, and beverages. If you're at a computer, you'll want to go to www.nwolibrary.com. That's nwolibrary.com, because we're quoting from documents posted there in food and pharmaceuticals in the fluoride section. So now we're going to learn about its secret history. This is really explosive stuff. Looking at a document entitled Toxic Secrets, Fluoride in the Manhattan Project by Joel Griffiths and Chris Bryson, published 1997. It's the first document in that fluoride section. Quote, recently discovered declassified government documents are shedding new light on the roots of that still controversial public health measure, revealing a surprising connection between the use of fluoride and the dawning of the nuclear age. The document trail begins at the height of World War II in 1944, when a severe pollution incident occurred downwind of the E.I. DuPont de Nemours Company chemical factory in Deepwater, New Jersey. The factory was then producing millions of pounds of fluoride for the Manhattan Project, whose scientists were racing to produce the world's first atomic bomb. But in the summer of 1944, the farmers began reporting that their crops were blighted. Although the farmers did not know it, the attention of the Manhattan Project and the federal government was riveted on the New Jersey incident, according to once secret documents obtained by those reporters. In a memo dated 27 August 1945, the Manhattan Project Chief Major General Leslie R. Groves to the Commanding General of the Armed Services Forces at the Pentagon concerns the investigation of crop damage at Lower Penn's Neck, New Jersey. It states, quote, "At the request of the Secretary of War, the Department of Agriculture has agreed to cooperate in investigating complaints of crop damage attributed to fumes from the plant operated in connection with the Manhattan Project," end quote. After the war's end, Dr. Harold C. Hodge, the Manhattan Project's chief of fluoride toxicology studies, worriedly wrote a secret memo 1 March 1946 to his boss, Colonel Stafford L. Warren, chief of the medical section, about, quote, "problems associated with the question of fluoride contamination of the atmosphere in a certain section of New Jersey." There seem to be four distinct, though related, problems. Question of the injury of the peach crop in 1944, a report of extraordinary fluoride content of vegetables grown in this area, a report of abnormally high fluoride content in the blood of human individuals residing in this area, and a report raising questions of serious poisoning of horses and cattle in this area, end quote. Much of the original proof that fluoride is safe for humans in low doses was generated by ABOM program scientists who had been secretly ordered to provide evidence useful in litigation against the defense contractors for fluoride injury to citizens. The first lawsuits against the American ABOM program were not over radiation, but over fluoride damage, the documents show. The New Jersey farmers waited until the war was over before suing DuPont and the Manhattan Project for fluoride damage, reportedly the first lawsuits against the U.S. atomic bomb program. Although seemingly trivial, the lawsuits shook the government, the secret documents reveal. Under the personal direction of Major General Groves, secret meetings were convened in Washington with compulsory attendance by scores of scientists and officials from the U.S. War Department, the Manhattan Project, the Food and Drug Administration, the Agriculture and Justice Departments, the U.S. Army's Chemical Warfare Service and Edgewood Arsenal, the Bureau of Standards, as well as lawyers from DuPont. Declassified memos of the meetings reveal a secret mobilization of the full forces of the government to defeat the New Jersey farmers. Human studies were required. Bomb program researchers played a leading role in the design and implementation of the most extensive U.S. study of the health effects of fluoridating public drinking water, conducted in Newburgh, New Jersey from 1945 to 55. Then, in a classified operation codenamed Program F, they secretly gathered and analyzed blood and tissue samples from the Newburgh citizens with the cooperation of the New York State Department of Health Department personnel. The original secret version, obtained by these reporters, of a study published by Program F scientists in the August 1948 Journal of the American Dental Association, shows that evidence of adverse health effects from fluoride was censored by the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission, considered the most powerful Cold War agency, for reason of national security. The bomb's program fluoride studies were conducted at the University of Rochester site, one of the most notorious human radiation experiments of the Cold War, in which unsuspecting hospital patients were injected with toxic doses of radioactive plutonium. The fluoride studies were conducted with the same ethical mindset, in which national security was paramount. In a memo dated 2-1946, copied to General Groves, Manhattan Project Lieutenant Colonel Cooper B. Rhodes notes that these agencies are making scientific investigations to obtain evidence which may be used to protect the interest of the government at the trial of suits brought by owners of peach orchards in New Jersey, end quote. Why the national security emergency over a few lawsuits by New Jersey farmers? In 1946, the United States began full-scale production of atomic bombs. No other nation had yet tested a nuclear weapon, and the A-bomb was seen as crucial for U.S. leadership in the post-war world. The New Jersey fluoride lawsuits were a serious roadblock to that strategy. Indeed, DuPont was particularly concerned about the possible psychological reaction to New Jersey pollution incident, according to Secret Manhattan Project Memo 1-1946. Facing a threat from the FDA to embargo the region's produce because of its high fluoride content, DuPont dispatched its lawyers to the FDA offices in Washington, D.C., where an agitated meeting ensued. According to a memo sent next day to General Groves, DuPont's lawyer argued that, quote, in view of the pending lawsuits, any action by the Food and Drug Administration would have a serious effect on the DuPont company and would create a bad public relations situation, end quote. After the meeting adjourned, Manhattan Project Captain John Davies approached the FDA's food division chief and, quote, impressed upon Dr. White the substantial interest which the government had and claims which might arise as a result of action which might be taken by the Food and Drug Administration, end quote. There was no embargo. If the farmers had won, it would open the door to further suits which might impede the bomb program's ability to use fluoride, commented Jacqueline Cottrell, a Tennessee public interest attorney who examined the declassified fluoride documents. Less known to the public is that fluoride also accumulates in the bones. Quote, the teeth are windows to what's happening in the bones, explained Paul Connett, professor of chemistry at St. Lawrence University, New York, to these reporters. In recent years, pediatric bone specialists have expressed alarm about an increase in stress fractures among young people across the United States. Connett and other scientists are concerned that fluoride, linked to bone damage in studies since the 1930s, may be a contributing factor. The declassified documents add urgency. Much of the original proof that low-dose fluoride is safe for children's bones came from U.S. bomb program scientists, according to this investigation. A broader solution to the public relations problem was suggested by Manhattan Project Chief Fluoride Toxicologist Harold Hodge in a second secret memo. Would there be any use in making attempts to counteract local fear of fluoride on the part of the residents? Or perhaps lectures on toxicology and maybe the usefulness of fluoride in tooth health? That's where it all came from, everybody. The cover there behind. We'll talk more on the other side about...
We have a new president coming into office in January. His number one word of use is change. What if the change was not the change America expected? What if all natural products were handed over to the pharmaceutical companies to be eradicated? What if the only remedy for sickness and disease was to take drugs? This hasn't happened yet, I repeat. Not yet. Prepare and defend your body with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. In an ever-changing world where toxins, chemicals, fluoride infiltrate every level of your system every day, take charge and get the tea. Online, that's GetTheTea.com, GetTheTea.com. Or call us 928-308-0408. Order now, 928-308-0408. Don't wait until it's too late. GetTheTea.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Production of elemental fluorine. Atomic bomb projects and nuclear energy applications made it necessary to produce large quantities of fluorine, since isotopes of uranium can be separated through gas diffusion of uranium hexafluoride. In the lectures given by the fluoride toxicologist for the Manhattan Project, Dr. Harold C. Hodge, in the Northeast and around the nation, are the first time the government officially promoted the notion that fluoride was somehow not bad for the body and actually good for our teeth. Again, that idea that fluoride was good for the teeth was part of a very deceptive public relations campaign, actually desperate damage control, on the part of the DuPont Company and the federal government. So now let's look at exactly what fluoride, or actually the element fluorine, is. If you were to look at the periodic table of elements, or if you didn't fail chemistry in high school, you'll see that it shows how the elements relate to one another. Similar elements are grouped together. In the same column, called the P block, as fluorine, or chlorine, as in chlorine gas, which is also very dangerous and toxic, and iodine, which is used in a liquid solution to kill germs on wounds. Iodine is added to salt to prevent goiter, which is a swelling on the neck associated with thyroid dysfunction. Iodine is essential in tiny doses, but too much is toxic. Fluorine is the most electronegative element that we know of in the universe. What that means is that it grabs electrons from other atoms more strongly than any other element. When it binds with hydrogen, it becomes hydrogen fluoride, one of the strongest acids there is, even stronger than sulfuric acid. It will eat through glass. It's actually what's used to etch glass. Now, if you look at the material safety data sheet for fluorine, you'll see just how reactive the substance is. Because it's so reactive, it's so dangerous. Fluorine gas is extremely toxic. It is pale yellow, corrosive gas, which reacts with practically all organic and inorganic substances. The free element has a characteristic pungent odor, detectable in concentrations as low as 20 parts per billion, which is above what's considered the safe working level. Exposure to low concentrations causes eye and lung irritation. Metal fluorides are very toxic. Elemental fluorine and the fluoride ion and quantity are highly toxic. It's never found alone in nature because it always bonds with another nearby element by grabbing their electrons. So this brings us to what fluoride does when it enters our body. Since fluoride is so reactive, it binds to the other elements in the human body. Our bones are mainly composed of calcium and phosphorus. Now on the periodic table, fluoride is on the right and calcium is on the left. Things on the opposite ends like to react. Fluorine grabs the electrons and calcium and changes them within our bones and teeth. It doesn't replace it, but they're changed because it's grabbed some electrons. Tooth enamel, on the other hand, is the most mineralized tissue of the human body. Its composition is 96% by weight inorganic material and 4% by weight organic material and water. And dentin, which is below the enamel, the inorganic material represents 70% by weight. This inorganic material is mainly composed of calcium phosphate, which is related to hexagonal hydroxyapatite. Enamel on the outside and dentin also indicate the presence of small quantities of other elements such as sodium, chlorine, and magnesium. Now remember how the elements on the left and right of the periodic table like to react with each other? Sodium is on the far left column. Magnesium and calcium are together in the column second to the left. Conversely, fluorine and chlorine are with each other in the column that's second to the right, called the P block. Now, if the tooth contains the elements listed before, calcium, sodium, chlorine, and magnesium, everything is fine. Everything's in balance, and the tooth is healthy and strong. But when that fluoride is added, it begins to grab the electrons from the calcium and magnesium. It bonds with these elements and changes them. Have you ever seen anyone with white flecks or spots on their teeth? Or have maybe you've seen someone with a person that has brownish stripes on their teeth or ones that are even pitted? That's a condition called dental fluorosis. And what that indicates is that the body has been overdosed with fluoride. It has bonded with, again, the calcium and magnesium in the teeth, and they become softer and weaker. In fact, they become more prone to cavities, not less. Some dentists in the late 1800s, and early 1900s started noticing what they called in America Colorado brown stain on children's teeth in the city of Colorado Springs. A dentist named Frederick McKay noticed it in Colorado and was intrigued. He wanted to find out what caused it. In a footnote to the book History of Dentistry in Colorado, not in the library, William Allen Douglas claims, quote, in 1922, Colorado Springs High School chemistry class, under the direction of their teacher, conducted a survey for McKay of the Colorado Springs watershed to determine the concentration of fluorspar and natural fluoride content, end quote. According to Douglas, the results seemed to indicate a higher fluoride content where the stain occurred, but no more money put the kibosh on that study. There was some back and forth between Dr. McKay and the U.S. Public Health Service about whether lack of fluoride might be causing this terrible blight. Quoting again, a team around Elmer Verner McCollin, of the Johns Hopkins University of Baltimore, in collaboration with Russell Wilford Bunting of the Dental School at the University of Michigan as their dental expert, described changes in the teeth of rats fed a diet of added sodium fluoride, 226 parts per million. Their aim was to see if fluoride would do any good for the teeth, but instead of any benefits, they found that the rats, quote, developed incisors which were abnormal in color. These teeth were also observed to grow in abnormal positions, the upper ones tending in nearly every case to grow backwards into a circle, finally penetrating the roof of the mouth, end quote. Ugh. Bunting's description added that these teeth are of a dull, opaque white color and lack the natural polish of well-formed tooth substance. In certain areas, they are corrugated transversely, suggesting intermittent transferences with development. But neither McCollum's group nor Bunting related these changes in rat teeth to the model teeth as seen in humans. This failure they shared with many other researchers who repeated this experiment and found essentially the same results, but they did not notice the similarity to human model teeth, end quote. So over and over in experiments, it shows that adding sodium fluoride to the diet causes malformation of teeth. Now I'm going to repeat that quote from Paul Connett, professor of chemistry at St. Lawrence University, New York. Quote, the teeth are windows to what's happening in the bones, end quote. So what is happening in the bones? Remember that the same professor and other pediatricians stating their alarm about the increase in stress fractures among young people in the U.S.? Well, in 1993, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services stated in its toxicological profile on fluoride, quote, "Existing data indicate that subjects of the population may be unusually susceptible to the toxic effects of fluoride and its compounds. These populations include the elderly, people with deficiency of calcium, magnesium, and or vitamin C, and people with cardiovascular and kidney problems. Postmenopausal women and elderly men in fluoridated communities may also be at risk of increased fractures," end quote, because cumulative doses of fluoride make bones brittle. And not only do children, adults, and elderly receive an unregulated dose of fluoride daily, but so do helpless infants. There are gallons of what's called nursery water in the aisle with the bottled water and other beverages in the supermarket. What's the difference between nursery water and, say, spring or distilled water? Nursery water contains an extra dose of fluoride. Check it out the next time you go to the grocery shopping and see for yourself. It has cute little wooden blocks and a fat, happy baby on the pink and blue label. It's intended to make new parents feel like they're doing everything they can for their precious little one while they can. Is fluoride good or bad for babies? From the press release of the Environmental Working Group, EWD.org, oh, we're running out of time. I'll tell you about the press release on the other side, but it tells about how they're super disingenuous. Stay with us. We'll be back after a few minutes.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit our website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
All right, welcome back. Okay, we're going to read excerpts from the press release of the Environmental Working Group about that product called Nursery Water. The company flagrantly misrepresents the position of numerous health authorities, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, stating, for example, that nursery water is made according to the recommendations by the American Academy of Pediatrics. In fact, the Academy recommends no intentionally added fluoride at all for young infants, stating, quote, supplementary fluoride should not be provided during the first 6 months of life, end quote. Why would the Academy make such a prescription? Because our teeth develop below the gum line, so that when a parent is feeding their children formula with either tap or nursery water, it actually damages their little developing teeth from the very beginning of their life. This is from an article entitled ADA Recommendation for Fluoride in Infant Diets by Roberta C. Barbalace, published January 2007 on environmentalchemistry.com. Quote, in November of 2006, the American Dental Association instituted an interim policy that advised that parents and caregivers using infant formula that needs to be reconstituted should consider using water that has no or low levels of fluoride, that's less than 0.3 parts per million. The fluoride content in many American cities is much higher than would be considered safe for infants. In Boston, Massachusetts, the fluoride concentration consumed in a day by infants would average 60% above the safe level of 0.7 milligrams a day for formula-fed babies. There is increasing evidence that excessive ingestion of fluoride during infancy and early childhood may damage the tooth-forming cells, leading to defective enamel. Interestingly enough, skeletal fluorosis has also been reported in individuals exposed to increased fluoride levels during early childhood. A study by Dr. Elise Bassin, Harvard Center for Cancer Prevention, supports studies by the New Jersey Health Department and the NIH, indicating that boys who drink water containing fluoride levels considered to be safe by federal guidelines are five times more likely to have osteosarcoma, a rare bone cancer, than boys who drank unfluoridated water as children. End quote. Skeletal fluorosis is a condition wherein the bones show evidence of being overdosed with fluoride, and its damaging effect is seen there. Note the statement that the rare bone cancer is more likely for boys than girls, and that it's not prevalent in boys who drink unfluoridated water. Now I'm going to read this little story that says a lot in a short space. Some of it I've already told you, but this is succinct. It's called Fluoride Kills, The Dentist's Tale by George Glasser, published in The Ecologist, September 2000. Fluoride can kill. Prepare yourself for the tragic fable of the chemist, the waterboard, the dentist, and his life. Once there was a dentist. His name was Lester. For many years, like all other dentists he knew, Lester believed that fluoride in the drinking water was good for everyone. Like all other dentists, Lester had learned in dental school that fluoride reduces tooth decay. And, like all other dentists, Lester believed that fluoride was fluoride. Then one day, he met a chemist and began discussing drinking water fluoridation. The chemist asked what kind of fluoride was being used to fluoridate the drinking water. Lester replied, "We're simply adjusting the fluoride level in the water by adding one part per million of, well, just fluoride." "There's no such thing as just fluoride," said the chemist. Lester scratched his head. "But they told me it was only fluoride they're adding to the water." The chemist laughed heartily. "Fluorine is the most reactive electronegative element, and it's never found alone in nature," he said. There are many kinds of fluorides. For instance, calcium fluoride is found naturally in water. Then there are other fluorides, such as lead fluoride, aluminum fluoride, etc. If you add fluoride to the water, it has to be a compound. You can't just add fluoride to the water, so which one is it? Lester felt silly. He didn't know. The next day, Lester went to the library to check out the chemistry books and learned that calcium fluoride is indeed found naturally in water. He also discovered that calcium fluoride is almost insoluble and could not easily be absorbed by the body. And his friend the chemist was right. There were innumerable fluoride compounds. Now intrigued, Lester looked up some scientific studies about water fluoridation. He read that in laboratory tests, workers use a very pure grade of sodium fluoride and purified water to do their research. He discovered that sodium fluoride is taken up by the body much more readily than calcium fluoride. His friend was right. The dentist wondered how anyone could say that calcium fluoride is the same as sodium fluoride. The next day, Lester called his water department to ask if they were adding sodium fluoride or calcium fluoride to his water. The water department manager said that they were adding a product called silicofluorides to the water. The manager said they bought a very low-grade product because it would be too expensive to use a good grade, and anyway, the public health people would not pay for good quality calcium fluoride because, they said, fluoride is fluoride no matter where it comes from. By now, Lester was completely bewildered. Well, where do you buy these silicofluorides from? He asked. The water department manager said that silicofluorides, known as hexafluorosilicic acid, are the toxic waste product from the phosphate fertilizer pollution scrubbers. The dentist was aghast. You have to be crazy putting that stuff in water. The water department manager agreed because, he said, the hexafluorosilicic acid also contains other toxic substances such as arsenic, beryllium, mercury, lead, and many more. He said he didn't drink the city water because of the contaminants in the fluoridation agent caused health problems. For instance, he said, arsenic causes prostate, bladder, kidney, skin, and lung cancers, and there is no safe level for arsenic. Lester was appalled. He asked the manager why he did not stop fluoridating the water with this pollution scrubber liquor, and why would anyone add any amount of a known carcinogen to the water? Shrugging, the manager said, I'm just doing my job. The public health people have their agenda, and I have a family to feed. After a sleepless night, Lester contemplated the fluoridation dilemma as he soaked himself in the shower. They say they're just simply adding a level of natural fluoride in the water, which is calcium fluoride, but they're using a pure grade sodium fluoride in pure water for their rat experiments in the library. But they're adding toxic pollution scrubber liquor in my drinking water. It didn't make sense. He called a man at the dental association and told him what he had learned. The man said coldly, if you value your license to practice, don't ever mention the subject again. Lester was shocked. He had worked hard and was proud of his practice and his two classic cars. He couldn't bear to lose them. He thought about his wife and family and how they would miss their luxury home with its four bathrooms and jacuzzi, the private schools, and foreign vacations. After a while, he made a decision. We won't drink the tap water. We'll buy bottled water. But he was not a happy man as he walked into the reception room and greeted his first patient of the day. Several months later, he visited his friend the doctor for his annual checkup and was stunned to learn that he had prostate cancer. He recalled the words of the water department manager, arsenic causes prostate cancer. Lester was shattered. He couldn't understand it. Yet, there was a reason. Despite taking care to drink only bottled water, Lester didn't know that much more of the pollution-laced tap water is absorbed through the skin from bathing and washing clothes. Poor Lester. Although 6,491% of exposure to waterborne contaminants is known to occur via dermal absorption, no studies have ever been done to determine the toxicity of pollution scrubber liquor, the fluoride used in water fluoridation schemes. Well, that brings up several issues. There are more carcinogens in the fluoride compound added to our water. Since the 50s, there's been an explosion of pancreatic, prostate, liver, and lung cancers, all of which can be fatal. Now this sheds a little more light on the causes of those elevated numbers. And secondly, while your neighborhood dentist is probably ignorant of the chemical composition and effects of sodium fluoride, those in the upper echelons are not. If you look further, you'll find a number of studies done by the dental industry using sodium fluoride, and those are used to justify adding it to our water and making our children sit in the chair for 3 minutes with a terrible-tasting toxic soup smushed up against their teeth and gums, and recommending all their fluoridated toothpaste and mouthwash. There's an incestuous relationship between dentistry and the fluoride purveyors, although more and more dentists are waking up. And you can help wake up your dentist by giving them some information about what fluoride really is. We'll talk more about a few more issues this subject raised on the other side of the break. Stay tuned, everybody.
Say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcast. The home of cutting edge talk radio.
Thanks for tuning in to the second hour of the maiden broadcast of the Iconoclast Report. If you're just joining us, the subject we're discussing today is fluoride. The same stuff that's added to our municipal water supplies, oral hygiene products, and even foods and beverages we consumed. In the last segment, we heard about Lester the dentist. I have a few more comments on what was raised in that story. There is the issue of dermal absorption. That means what's absorbed by our skin. Of course, our skin is the largest organ in our body and is extremely porous. That's why lotion soaks in. Here's some really bad news for those of us who like to take long, soaky baths and people who take showers every day. Every 60 seconds of immersion in fluoride-laced water is the equivalent of drinking 8 8-ounce glasses of fluoridated water. So, just like Lester the dentist, deciding to switch to only drinking bottled water, you're still getting your largest dose of fluoride from your daily shower, especially hot showers because the pores open up and admit more toxins. And a note on bottled water. You'll recall from the last segment, actually I didn't get to read this part, but the FDA approved adding fluoride to bottled water. That means all the different brands of bottled water have fluoride added to them. And you can be assured it's the same toxic waste byproduct from the phosphate fertilizer industry, not the pure sodium fluoride used in clinical experiments. I was actually watching CNN live when the head of the FDA said they were going to do this. The anchor asked him if it would be put on a label. He said no. And get this, their justification was that people weren't getting their recommended daily dose, as if it's a vitamin or something that's required for life. But of course, to those who know nothing about fluoride, it makes them sound like it's all about caring for us citizens. So far we've learned where fluoride comes from, what fluoride is, and how it reacts with the elements in our bones and teeth. But now we're going to take it in a different direction, how the elements in fluoride compound affect us. In the document in the library entitled Fluoridation Increases Lead Absorption in Children, found under Food and Pharmaceuticals and the Fluoride section, it states, quote, most communities inject cheaper silicofluorides, fluorosilicic acid, and sodium silicofluoride into their drinking water, based on the theory that each chemical comes apart totally so that freed fluoride can incorporate into tooth enamel. However, silicofluorides do not separate completely as sodium fluoride does. As a result, water treatment with silicofluorides apparently functions to increase the cellular uptake of lead. In research published in the International Journal of Environmental Studies in September 1999, Masters and Copeland studied lead screening data from 280,000 Massachusetts children. They found that the average blood lead levels are significantly higher in children living in communities whose water is treated with silicofluorides. Masters and Copeland reported that some minorities are especially at risk in high fluoridated areas, where Black and Mexican American children have significantly higher blood lead levels than they do in unfluoridated communities. Ironically, children with higher blood lead levels also have more tooth decay. That was from the Journal of American Medical Association, June 99. So fluoridation may prove to cause tooth decay rather than prevent it. This research is just another block stacked on a giant wall of evidence that proves that fluoridation is neither safe nor effective, no matter what fluoride chemical is used. Lead is a highly significant risk factor in predicting higher rates of crime, ADD, and hyperactivity, and learning disabilities. Higher rates of violent crime and substance abuse in silico-fluoridated communities were also found in research that is yet to be published. Medical professionals have known for over 10 years that fluoride makes teeth soft and more prone to decay. Yet our toothpaste still have this toxin. And they still tell us it's good for us. Appalling. We're going to take...
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Prime Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to read a little bit from a document entitled Health Effects, Fluoride and the Brain, from the Fluoride Action Network. And we find this. Fluoride's ability to damage the brain represents one of the most active areas of research on fluoride toxicity today. The research on fluoride in the brain has been fueled by 18 human studies from China, India, Iran, and Mexico, finding elevated levels of fluoride exposure to be associated with IQ deficits in children. Fluoride's impact on IQ is exacerbated among children with low iodine exposure. The impact of fluoride on children's IQ has been documented even after controlling for children's lead exposure, iodine exposure, parental education and income status, and other known factors that might impact the results, citing Rasha Amador 2007 and Shang 2003. In addition to IQ studies, three studies by Yu, 1996, Du, in 92, and Han, in 89, have found that fluoride accumulates in the brain of the fetus, causing damage to cells and neurotransmitters. And one study by Li, in 2004, has found a correlation between exposure to fluoride during fetal development and behavioral deficits among neonates. Several recent studies have found that even adult exposure to fluoride may result in central nervous system disturbances, particularly among industrial workers. The findings of the neurological effects of fluoride-exposed humans is consistent with and strengthened by recent findings from over 40 animal studies published since 1992. As with the studies on humans, the studies on animals have reported an impairment in learning and memory processes among the fluoride-treated groups, end quote. Well, what are those studies? There is a document in the library entitled Fluoride's Neurological Effects, a list of study abstracts in that same area, Food and Pharmaceuticals, and the Fluoride section. You can get there by going to www.nwolibrary.com. That's nwolibrary.com. There are also several studies that I mentioned just a minute ago that are there also if you'd like to read the entire thing, that deal with IQ deficits in children. But we're going to read some quotes from them now, and the evidence is pretty damning, folks, that children living in fluoridated areas, the water damages their brains to the point that it permanently lowers their IQ. This is a lifelong handicap because of feeding us a known toxin. And I'll say this again. If any citizen put a toxin in the city's water supply, they would be hunted down and prosecuted as a domestic terrorist. But what do these studies say specifically? Well, here are some quotes from five studies. We found that exposure to fluoride in urine was associated with reduced performance, verbal, and full IQ scores before and after adjusting for co-founders. The same pattern was observed for models with fluoride in water as the exposure variable. The individual effect of fluoride in urine indicated for each milligram increase of fluoride in urine, a decrease of 1.7 points in full IQ might be expected. From decreased intelligence in children and exposure to fluoride and arsenic in drinking water by D. Rasha Amador et al., 2007. The significant differences in IQ among these regions suggest that fluoride can exacerbate central nervous system lesions and somatic development disturbances caused by iodine deficiency. This may be in keeping with fluoride's known ability to cause degenerative changes in the central nervous system cells and to inhibit the activities of many enzymes, including choline enzymes, causing disturbance of the nerve impulse. And that's from the relationship of low iodine and high fluoride environment to subclinical cretinism in Xinjiang, published in Iodine Deficiency Disorder Newsletter by Fafu Lin et al., 1991. The next one says, this study indicates that exposure to fluoride in drinking water is associated with neurotoxic effects in children. From arsenic and fluoride exposure in drinking water, children's IQ and growth in Shenyang County, Xinxi Province, China, and Environmental Health Perspectives by S.X. Wang et al., 2007. A few epidemiologic studies of Chinese populations have reported IQ deficits in children exposed to fluoride at 2.5 to 4 milligrams per liter in drinking water. although these studies lack sufficient detail for the committee to fully assess their quality and relevance to U.S. populations, the consistency of the results appears significant enough to warrant additional research on the effects of fluoride on intelligence. That's from Fluoride in Drinking Water, a scientific review of EPA standards by the National Research Council, 2006, published by National Academies Press, Washington, D.C. Higher drinking water fluoride levels were significantly associated with higher rates of mental retardation, that's IQ of below 70, and borderline intelligence, that's IQ of 70 to 79, from The Effect of Fluoride in Drinking Water on Children's Intelligence, published in Fluoride by Q. Xiang et al., 2003. So, what these studies are saying is that, and there are 15 more that I didn't cite, is that the exposure to fluoride is proven to have a detrimental effect on children's brains, damaging them for life. One quote mentioned that fluoride exacerbates the problems caused by iodine deficiency. Fluoride and iodine are in the same area of the periodic table of elements, the P block. And remember, fluoride, the silico fluoride that we ingest, will bind with anything. So it's really wreaking havoc with the brain. Now here's a brief quote from a study about fluoride and pregnancy and the fetus, how it affects it in utero. Fluoride can pass through the blood-brain barrier and accumulate in brain tissue. Thus, in our study, the brain tissue of the fetuses from fluoride endemic area showed higher fluoride levels than the control. The mechanisms involved are not yet clear, but increased amounts of fluoride, the brain tissue of the endemic subjects also showed nerve cells with swollen mitochondria, expanded granular endoplasmic reticula, grouping of the chromatin, damage to the nuclear envelope, a lower number of synapses, fewer mitochondria, microtubules, vesicles within the synapses, and damage to the synaptic membrane. These changes indicate that fluoride can retard the growth and division of cells in the cerebral cortex. Fewer mitochondria, microtubules, and vesicles within the synapses could lead to fewer connections between the neurons and abnormal synaptic function, influencing the intellectual development after birth. From The Effects of Fluoride on the Human Fetus, from the Chinese Journal of Control of Endemic Diseases by H. Han et al., 1989. Of course, the cerebral cortex is where the higher thinking takes place. Synapses are the space between the neurons of the brain through which the electrical impulses pass from neuron to neuron. They're crucial for just being able to think. So we see that we're being poisoned even before we're born. And then the ingestion of this toxin after birth with fluoridated water, foods that are processed with fluoridated water, oral hygiene products, and most of us had fluoride treatments at the dentist when we were young, this causes fluorosis, both skeletal and dental. And from these studies, we see that even if there are no outward manifestations of the condition, such as our teeth being mottled with those white or brownish flecks or even the bright white spots, it can still overwhelm our system to the point that we are less intelligent than we could be because of consuming this known hazardous waste toxin. I can't understand how the EPA, the Center for Disease Control, the FDA, and other agencies can allow this toxin to be added to our water. They know it's a toxin. They know it's a hazardous waste. Instead of the EPA mandating that the fertilizer industry dispose of their toxic waste in a safe way, which would cost them a lot of money, they actually allow them to sell it to municipalities and add it to our water. It's madness, really. There is a document in the library in, again, Foods and Pharmaceuticals in the fluoride section that is a study done by the Agricultural Research Council entitled USDA National Fluoride Database of Selected Beverages and Foods. It's available as both a PDF of the background methodology and other information with the spreadsheet at the end, and just a spreadsheet if you just only want to read that. I'll tell you, it's shocking the amount of fluoride that's in common foods that we eat. In fact, they tested all the bottled water brands, and wow, there's a significant amount in those also. And that's just one product. There are many, many others. It's worth looking at just to get an idea of the amounts you ingest from foods on a daily basis. And these are common foods like lunch meat, oatmeal, applesauce, beer, wine, and so on. And raisins, for example, have so much fluoride that if you were to feed your dog three of them, it would die from fluoride poisoning. It's really that toxic. Wow, time's flying by. We'll discuss how fluoride affects the endocrine system and thyroid in the next segment after this break. You're listening to the Iconoclast Report on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
We have a new president coming into office in January. His number one word of use is change. What if the change was not the change America expected? What if all natural products were handed over to the pharmaceutical companies to be eradicated? What if the only remedy for sickness and disease was to take drugs? This hasn't happened yet. I repeat, not yet. Prepare and defend your body with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. In an ever-changing world where toxins, chemicals, fluoride infiltrate every level of your system every day, take charge and get the tea. Online, that's GetTheTea.com, GetTheTea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. Order now, 928-308-0408. Don't wait until it's too late. GetTheTea.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
History will always remember those strongest voices. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
We were just mentioning the document by the Agricultural Research Council on the fluoride content of selected foods and beverages before the break, and really, it's worth taking a look at. You will not believe what you're ingesting in common everyday foods like applesauce, oatmeal, beer, wine, and soda. One of the interesting things is how the fluoride content of soda, for example, varies according to which region in the U.S. it's for. All right, we're finally going to get into the endocrine system and the thyroid gland in particular. In a study published by The Lancet in May of 72 called Fluoride, Water Hardness, and Endemic Goiter by T.K. Day and P.R. Powell Jackson, it states, quote, goiter prevalence in a number of endemic areas has been shown to depend on factors other than iodine deficiency. The role of water hardness in endemic goiter in man and experimental goiter in animals is well established. That fluoride may be another important factor has long been suspected. Goiter has been produced in experimental animals by feeding fluoride salts, and fluoride exerts an anti-thyroid effect in man when used in the treatment of thyrotoxicosis. Possibly the influence of fluoride is upon amino acid precursors of thyroxine, tyrosine, and its metabolites rather than upon iodine. Increased urinary loss of tyrosine is known to occur in men living in high fluoride areas and in monkeys receiving low daily doses of fluoride. Tyrosine deficiency has been known to cause thyroid hypofunction in rats. Moreover, the coexistence of fluorosis and goiter has been noted especially in poor rural populations consuming diets deficient in protein, and the other features of fluorosis, tooth and bone changes, are enhanced by malnutrition, end quote. Goiter, again, is a swelling on the neck that indicates that the thyroid is underperforming, which is also called hypothyroidism. Now, here are a few quotes from our own National Research Council on the association between fluoride and thyroid function. In summary, evidence of several types indicates that fluoride affects the normal endocrine system function or response. The effect of fluoride-induced changes vary in degree and kind in different individuals. Fluoride is therefore an endocrine disruptor in the broad sense of altering normal endocrine function and response, although probably not in the sense of mimicking a normal hormone. The mechanisms of action remain to be worked out and appear to include both direct and indirect mechanisms. For example, direct stimulation or inhibition of hormone secretion by interference with a second messenger function. Indirect stimulation or inhibition of hormone secretion by effects on things such as calcium balance, and inhibition of peripheral enzymes that are necessary for activation of the normal hormone. Fluoride exposure in humans is associated with elevated levels of TSH concentrations, increased goiter prevalence, and altered T4 and T3 concentrations. Similar effects on T4 and T3 are reported in experimental animals. In humans, effects on the thyroid function were associated with fluoride exposures of 0.05 to 0.13 milligrams per day when iodine intake was adequate, and 0.1 to 0.3 milligrams per day when iodine intake was inadequate. The recent decline in iodine intake in the United States could contribute to increase toxicity of fluoride for some individuals. The intake of nutrients such as calcium and iodine is often not reported in studies on fluoride effects. The effects of fluoride on thyroid function, for instance, might depend on whether iodine intake is low, adequate, or high, or whether dietary selenium is adequate. The effects of fluoride on various aspects of the endocrine function should be examined further, particularly with respect to a possible role in the development of several diseases or mental states in the United States, end quote. This was from their study I cited in the previous segment called Fluoride in Drinking Water, a Scientific Review of EPA Standards. I haven't gotten that up in the library yet. I apologize. It should be up later today. And that will be in the food and pharmaceuticals and the fluoride section. So the NRC is admitting that fluoride is an endocrine disruptor, that it affects the thyroid enough to cause goiter. It affects the T cells, which are critical for fighting off infection. Essentially, it actually lowers our resistance to illness and disease. They even admit it has a possible role in the development of some diseases. And did you catch in the last quote that it has a, quote, possible role in the development of mental states? Well, we already learned how it damages infants' brains, children's brains, and can cause central nervous system disturbances in adults. Well, let's see how it affects the pineal gland. This is directly from the Fluoride Action Network's website. Quote, up until the 1990s, no research had ever been conducted to determine the impact of fluoride on the pineal gland, a small gland located between the two hemispheres of the brain that regulate the production of the hormone melatonin. Melatonin is a hormone that regulates the onset of puberty, and it helps protect the body from cell damage caused by free radicals. It is now known, thanks to the meticulous research of Dr. Jennifer Luke from the University of Surrey in England, that the pineal gland is the primary target of fluoride accumulation within the body. Soft tissue of the pineal gland contains more fluoride than any other soft tissue in the body. Level of fluoride, about 300 parts per million, capable of inhibiting enzymes. The pineal gland also contains hard tissue, hydroxyapatite crystals, and this hard tissue accumulates more fluoride, up to 21,000 parts per million, than any other hard tissue in the body, e.g. teeth and bone. After finding that the pineal gland is the major target of fluoride accumulation in humans, Dr. Luke conducted animal experiments to determine if the accumulated fluoride could impact the function of the gland, particularly the gland's regulation of melatonin. She found that animals treated with fluoride had lower levels of circulating melatonin, as reflected by reduced levels of melatonin metabolites in the animal's urine. This reduced level of circulating melatonin was accompanied, as might be expected, by an earlier onset of puberty in the fluoride-treated female animals. She summarized her findings, animal and human, as follows, quote, "In conclusion, the human pineal gland contains the highest concentration of fluoride in the body. Fluoride is associated with depressed pineal melatonin synthesis by prepubertal gerbils and accelerated onset of sexual maturation in the female gerbil. The results strengthen the hypothesis that the pineal has a role in timing of onset of puberty. Whether or not fluoride interferes with the pineal function in humans requires further investigation," end quote. Okay, well, we've also seen a huge upswing in what has the medical community in a tither in what's called precocious puberty. That's when a child hits puberty way earlier than is normal. There are actually little 5-year-olds hitting puberty and growing breasts now. This is really getting out of hand. But that brings up the subject of fertility and reproduction. Does the toxic fluoride affect fertility? Certainly does in animals. Here are a few quotes I'm going to try to get through real quick. "We conclude that fluoride treatment is associated with testicular disorders, which may be due to an induction of oxidative stress in reproductive organs, along with possible adverse effects of fluoride on the pituitary testicular axis. The detailed mechanism of fluoride treatment on the male reproduction system has not been elucidated and will be the subject of future experiments." That's Gosh et al. 2002. "A review of fluoride toxicity showed decreased fertility in most animal species studied. The current study was to see whether fluoride would also affect human birth rates. A U.S. database of drinking water systems was used to identify index counties with water systems reporting fluoride levels of at least 3 parts per million. These and adjacent counties were grouped in 30 regions spread over 9 states. Most regions showed an association of decreasing total fertility rate with increasing fluoride levels." So there you have it. It does affect human fertility as well. We'll be right back after this break. Thank you for tuning in to the Iconoclast Report.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbird don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business, or a Freedom Slash Patriot-related profile, CCW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back, everybody. We're now going to learn about fluoride in pharmaceuticals. I bet you didn't know that there are some very commonly prescribed medications that are mainly composed of fluoride, did you? Well, actually, the most common psychiatric drugs out there are mostly fluoride, namely Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Luvox, Celexa, and their copycats and generic versions of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. We're going to go into Prozac specifically because it was the first, it's one of the most widely used, and the others are basically the same anyway. The chemical formula for Prozac is DL(N)-3-phenyl(3)-propylamine hydrochloride. The 3 before the propylamine stands for alpha-alpha-alpha-trifluoro-p-toluoxy. What's significant for our discussion is the trifluoro. That means it contains, you guessed it, fluoride. It's called fluoxetine. It's made to treat major mental depression and obsessive compulsive disorder. Then there are the off-box or investigational uses, pain syndromes, panic, sleep, and eating disorders. Don't you just love the prescription creep? It is a potent inhibitor of serotonin reuptake by central nervous system neurons and may interact with other drugs or circumstances which cause serotonin release. The enhancement of the serotonergic effects may produce a life-threatening serotonin syndrome. It specifically inhibits neuronal reuptake of serotonin, thus increasing the concentration of serotonin at the synapse and reinforcing of serotonergic neuronal transmission. Fluoxetine inhibits liver drug metabolizing enzymes. That's from Lane et al. In 1995. With all that technical stuff out of the way, let's look at how it affects the brain and regular language with some practical insights from a position paper by the International Coalition for Drug Awareness by their executive director, Dr. Anne Blake Tracy. This paper is also contained in the library. Dr. Tracy notes the following. My concern is that each new SSRI introduced seems to be a little stronger on serotonin reuptake and therefore potentially more dangerous. And the all too common practice of going from one SSRI to another blocks additional receptors and magnifies the harmful effects of these medications. It is crucial to learn that, according to the medical research, the theory behind this group of drugs is invalid. They are designed to block serotonin in the brain, thereby increasing brain levels of this neurotransmitter. Yet for three decades, researchers have been intensely interested in serotonin because LSD and PCP produce their psychedelic effects by mimicking serotonin. Elevated serotonin is found in psychosis or schizophrenia, mood disorders, organic brain disease, mental retardation, autism, and Alzheimer's, while low levels of the metabolism of serotonin, which also produces high serotonin, are found in those with depression, anxiety, suicide, violence, arson, substance abuse, insomnia, violent nightmares, impulsive behavior, reckless driving, exhibitionism, hostility, argumentative behavior, etc. The drug increases serotonin and decreases the metabolism of serotonin, leading to any and all of the just mentioned results. This information is extremely crucial for patients and physicians to learn as soon as possible. We have a high rate of people using these drugs nationwide. Raising serotonin and lowering the metabolism of serotonin in such a large number of people can produce very serious, widespread, and long-term problems for all of society, end quote. She's got a great timeline in this document about the development and revelations of side effects of Prozac and SSRIs, but I'm just going to point out a quick few. July 92, a study led by Dr. Lauren Brandis of the Manitoba Institute of Cell Biology in Winnipeg, Canada, was published in Cancer Research linking the two most popular antidepressants, Elavil and Prozac, to cancer. June 94, New York Review of Books article by Dr. Sherwin Newland slams Peter Kramer for pushing Prozac in his book Listening to Prozac. Dr. Newland pointed out that all doctors are taught in med school this little poem about serotonin. This man was addicted to moaning, confusion, edema, and groaning, intestinal rushes, great tri-colored flushes, and died from too much serotonin. He also listed constriction of lungs and intestines, diarrhea, wheezing, flushing, mental confusion, tightening of the bronchioles, and lessening conscious control over behavior from increases in serotonin. Quote, moreover, it is still too early to arrive at a reliable estimate of possible dangers that may appear in the long term, end quote, and 15% dropped out of the clinical trials on Prozac because of adverse reactions. He also discussed the similarity of serotonin to the psychedelics like LSD and PCP. November 94, J.H. Crystal, E. Webb, and Cooney et al. In the specificity of ethanol-like effects elicited from serotonergic and noradrenergic mechanisms in the Archives of General Psychiatry, Volume 51, Issue 11 in 94, demonstrated that an increase in brain levels of either two neurotransmitters, serotonin or noradrenaline, produces a craving for alcohol, anger, and anxiety. They found this to be especially true for those who have a history of alcoholism. An increase in serotonin in turn increases noradrenaline. Numerous reports have been made by many reformed alcoholics who are being driven to alcohol again after being prescribed a serotonergic drug. And many other patients who had no previous history of alcoholism have continued to report a quote-unquote overwhelming compulsion to drink while using these drugs. October 97, Dr. Candace Pert is a research professor at Georgetown University Medical Center, past head of the Brain Chemistry Department at the NIH, and author of a new book, Molecules of Emotion. As we are being led to believe these drugs produce effects only in the brain, Dr. Pert accuses the medical profession of oversimplifying the action of these drugs and adds that the public is being misinformed about the precision of these selective serotonin uptake inhibitors. It's critical that both physicians and patients be made aware of these adverse physical reactions. She points out that not only the medical profession oversimplifies the action of the drugs in the brain, but, quote, ignores the body as if it exists merely to carry the head around, end quote, and that these molecules of emotion regulate every aspect of our physiology. The body plays a very significant role in how we feel and why we act the way we do. This fact can be no longer ignored. serotonin and serotonin receptors exist throughout the body as well as the brain, and every aspect of the body's physiology is affected by these serotonergic medications. In fact, approximately 90% of the body's serotonin is produced in the intestinal tract. According to Dr. Michael Gershon of New York's Columbia Presbyterian, this is the reason why Prozac produces so many gastrointestinal side effects. We've witnessed no decrease in suicide, but increases in murder-suicide, suicide, unwed pregnancies, domestic violence, manic depression, MS, hypoglycemia, diabetes, bankruptcies, divorce, mothers and children killing, mothers and parents killing their children, road rage, school shootings, cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, and fibromyalgia since these serotonergic drugs have become so popular. And Dr. Tracy relates them specifically to the effects on these drugs. The paper lists 27 murders or murder-suicides by people who were on these SSRIs. Quote, the latest figures show Prozac has about 44,000 adverse reports filed by with the FDA. Out of these reports, there are 2,500 deaths, with a large majority of them linked to suicide or violence. The suicide statistics relating to women are shocking. According to the CDC, there are about 30,000 suicides yearly in the U.S., about 6,000 are women, a ratio of about 4.3 to 1 male to female. About twice as many women as men are treated for depression. Women were known to use less lethal means until SSRI antidepressants hit the market. But on Prozac and Paxil, women committed 40% of the suicides. Many were strikingly violent and clearly leaving no room for rescue. Because Prozac was the first of this group of drugs, its track record gives us a vision of what is to come with other SSRIs, especially when they are so powerful in the reuptake of serotonin, end quote, and especially because they are also made with fluoride. And we've all found what they've done to all the different systems in our body, didn't even get the kidney or liver or anything like that, but they affect those too. Next up, we're going to talk about why the government allows this horrible toxic waste to be put into our water and other consumables and these widely used prescriptions as well. The culmination of the maiden broadcast is coming up next. Please stand by.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com.
They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
All right, now we're going to look at why the government allows this toxic waste, fluoride, to be put into our water and consumable products. In the beginning, I talked about how the silicone fluorides we ingest came from the phosphate fertilizer industry, and also about how the beginning of the push for fluoridation was because of the pollution incident and the top secret cover-up by the DuPont Company and the federal government. What we didn't talk about were the other sources of fluoride pollution, aluminum and steel production, other medicals, and chemical companies. The Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa, was the biggest aluminum company producer, aluminum producer at that time. And as a result, the pollution of nearby farms and people was facing numerous lawsuits over damages, as were the other industrial factories that vented fluoride compounds into the air. And just like DuPont and the federal government, they had a public relations mess they had to deal with. From an article entitled Commie Plot or Capitalist Ploy by Joel Griffiths, published in Covert Action Quarterly, Fall 1992, quote, Oscar R. Ewing, a longtime Alcoa lawyer who had recently been named the company's chief counsel, arrived in Washington. Ewing was presumably well aware of Alcoa's fluoride litigation problem. In 1947, Ewing was appointed head of the Federal Security Agency, later Health, Education, and Welfare, a position that placed him in charge of our friends, the Public Health Service. Under him, a national water fluoridation campaign rapidly materialized, spearheaded by the PHS. Over the next 3 years, 87 additional cities were fluoridated, including the control city in the original two-city Michigan experiment, thus wiping out the most scientifically objective study and the benefit before it was half over. The government's official reason for this unscientific haste was quote-unquote popular demand. And indeed, these 87 cities had become so wild for fluoridation that the government claimed it wasn't fair to deny them the benefits. By then, in fact, much of the nation was clamoring for fluoridation. This enthusiasm was not really surprising, considering Oscar Ewing's public relations strategist for the water fluoridation campaign was none other than Sigmund Freud's nephew, Edward L. Bernays, the original spin doctor, as a Washington Post headline recently termed him. Bernays, also known as the father of public relations, pioneered the application of his uncle's theories to advertising and government propaganda. The government's fluoridation campaigns was one of his most stunning and enduring successes. In his 1928 book, Propaganda, Bernays explained the, quote, structure of the mechanism which controls the public mind and how it is manipulated by the special pleader, i.e. public relations counsel, who seeks to create public acceptance or for a particular idea or commodity. Those who manipulate the unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. If you can influence the group leaders, wrote Bernays, who had many confidential industrial clients, quote, either with or without their conscious cooperation, you automatically influence the group which they sway, end quote. Almost overnight, under Bernays' mass mind molding, the popular image of fluoride, which at the time was being widely sold as a rat and bug poison, became that of a beneficial provider of gleaming smiles, absolutely safe and good for children, bestowed by a benevolent paternal government. Its opponents were permanently engraved on the public mind as crackpots and right-wing loonies, end quote. Some of you may know of Edward Bernays. Some of you realize how true his statements were and still are. Our minds are still molded to this day by what Bernays called the invisible government. He knew because he worked with and for them. Other reasons why the government not only allows but sanctions us feeding us this toxic waste. Now from an article entitled, Germans and Russians Used Fluoride to Make Prisoners Docile and Stupid, by D.V. Kidd on newswithviews.com, published May 14, 2005. Quote, it is a matter of record that sodium fluoride has been used for behavior control of populations. In an address in reply to the governor's speech to Parliament, published in the Victorian Handstard, August 12, 1987, and Nexus, August-September 1995. Mr. Harley Rivers Dickinson, the Liberal Party member of the Victorian Parliament for South Barwon, Australia, made a statement on the historical use of fluorides for behavior control. Quote, Mr. Dickinson reveals that, at the end of the Second World War, the United States government sent Charles Elliott Perkins, a researcher worker of chemistry, biochemistry, physiology, and pathology, to take charge of the vast IG Farben chemical plants in Germany. While there, he was told by German chemists of a scheme which had been worked out by them during the war and adopted by the German general staff. This scheme was to control the population in any given area through mass medication of drinking water. In this scheme, sodium fluoride will in time reduce the individual's power to resist domination by slowly poisoning and narcotizing a certain area of the brain and will thus make him submissive to the will of the people who wish to govern him. Both the Germans and the Russians added fluoride to drinking water of prisoners of war to make them stupid and docile. And quoting Mr. Dickinson, according to the, he continues on, the Chemical Engineering News in 1988, each year in the United States, 80,000 tons of hydrofluorosilicic acid, 60,000 tons of sodium silicofluoride, and 3,000 tons of sodium fluorides are put into public water supplies, period. In view of all known research, it would be safe and accurate to rephrase the previous sentence and say that each year the United States government allows 143,000 tons of fluoride products to be added to the public water supplies in order to numb, disempower, and render docile a large percentage of the population. Present estimates in 1995 run about 200,000 tons annually. Now, why on earth would any oligarchic group, a small group, want to do this to tens of millions of people, deliberately and knowingly? Well, here's another admission from the same article. To whom it may concern, I, Oliver Kenneth Goff, was a member of the Communist Party and the Young Communist League from May 36 to October 1939. During this period of time, I operated under the alias of Jane Keats in the number 18B2. My testimony before the government is incorporated in Volume 9 of the Un-American Activities Report for the year 1939. While a member of the Communist Party, I attended Communist underground training schools outside the city of New York in the Buse Hall and 113 East Wells Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The East Wells Street School operated under the name Eugene Debs School. Here, under the tutoring of Eugene Dennis, M. Sparks, Morris Childs, Jack Kling, and others, we were schooled in the art of revolutionary overthrow of the established government. We discussed quite thoroughly the fluoridation of water supplies and how we were using it in Russia as a tranquilizer in the prison camps. The leaders of our school felt that if it could be induced in the American water supply, it would bring about a spirit of lethargy in the nation, where it would keep the general public docile during a steady encroachment of communism. We also discussed the fact that keeping a store of deadly fluoride near the water reservoir would be advantageous during the time of revolution, as it would give us the opportunity to dump this poison into the water supply and either kill off the populace or threaten them with liquidation so that they would surrender to obtain fresh water. End quote. The effects of fluoride on behavior control and modification have been known for a long time. It was used on humans, and the result was clear. The use of fluoride is nothing less than an act of actually poisoning us, physically and poisoning our minds. There is no way to justify this mass medication and poisoning. So what can you do? You can avoid fluoride by getting a good household water filter like Berkey, getting shower filters that reduce or eliminate the fluoride in your showers, eat only organic food that's grown away from factories, and educate yourself. And read The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson. I hope you learned a lot today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week to talk about aspartame and MSG, more poisons added to our food, and how they affect us. So long, everybody. We'll see you next week here on the Iconoclast Report.
We have a new president coming into office in January. His number one word of use is change. What if the change was not the change America expected? What if all natural products were handed over to the pharmaceutical companies to be eradicated? What if the only remedy for sickness and disease was to take drugs? This hasn't happened yet. I repeat, not yet. Prepare and defend your body with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. In an ever-changing world where toxins, chemicals, fluoride infiltrate every level of your system every day, take charge and get the tea. Online, that's GetTheTea.com, GetTheTea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. Order now, 928-308-0408. Don't wait until it's too late. GetTheTea.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.